Psalm 65. Psalm 65. Praise awaits you, O God, in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled. O you who hear prayer, to you all men will come. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. You answer us with awesome deeds of righteousness, O God our Saviour, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, who form the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nations. Those living far away fear your wonders. When morning dawns and evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with corn, for so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the desert overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks. The valleys are mantled with corn. They shout for joy and sing. So reads God's precious. Into Luke's Gospel, chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I've nothing to set before him." Then the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread, because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So reads the Word of God. Lovely hymn of Charles Wesley's on the privilege of prayer and the need to pray. So I guess you know where I'm going tonight. Maybe you've seen the heading on the leaflet, "Let's Talk." If you've got your Bibles open to Psalm 65, that's where we'll begin. Actually, the Thursday before last, I was at the Wycliffe Bible Translators, and it was getting towards time when I went home, and the phone rang, and it was our daughter Ruth on the phone, sounding a bit anxious. "Dad," she said, "is Mum all right?" I said, "Well, as far as I know, I've been at Wycliffe all day." Well, she said, "You know, I've been trying on the phone to reach her for over an hour, and the phone is engaged. I can't get any answer. Do you think she might be phoning Mrs. So-and-so, somebody we know from Essex?" "Oh, no," I said, "she won't be phoning her because we've had two phone calls there this week already." "Don't worry," I said, "I'll pack up, I'll come home." Well, she said, "I'm going to go round in the car." So she bundled some children in the car, some of her own and some of somebody else's, and roared round to our little place. She's only about 5 minutes away, not far. And one of her sons said, "Mum, the place is all in dark." So that caused even more panic. So Ruth, or the children, bashed the door, and Barbara opened it. "Why," Ruth said, "what's happened? I've been trying to get you and couldn't get any answer." Barbara said, "I've been on the phone. It's my cousin in Shropshire. She's a lovely person, but boy, does she talk." It's important to talk, isn't it? We need to talk. We've got voices that we're to use. We are to talk. Actually, there's a website now. I looked it up, and it's called www.itsgoodtotalk. Actually, it was started to help others share their own experiences and to get help if they were anxious or in trouble. It's good to talk. It reminded me of when I was a kid. In Sunday school, we used to sing a chorus, "A little talk with Jesus makes it right, all right." And it's good to talk. God speaks to us through his word, and we need to seek his face in prayer. And our text is on the next picture here, and it's Psalm 65 and verse 2. "O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh shall come." This has been on my mind when I knew I was coming here. This verse stuck in my mind, so I want to discharge my responsibility and share it with you. Because we need to talk. We need to pray. God hears prayer and invites us to come. The thing is, sometimes we say we find it hard to pray, or we don't know what to pray. I'm always challenged by a hymn of William Cowper's that begins, "What various hindrances we meet when coming to the mercy seat." And there's a really telling verse which says this. Don't take offence at it, will you? But it challenges me. "Have you no words? Ah, think again. Words flow apace when you complain and fill your fellow creature's ear with the sad tale of all your care. Were half the breath thus vainly spent to heaven in supplication sent, our cheerful song would oftener be, hear what the Lord has done for me." That speaks to me and challenges me when I find it hard to pray and when I find it easy to moan. My goodness, we need to get the balance right, don't we? And to talk to the Lord. And we need to pray properly. There's another old hymn, isn't there, by a guy called John Burton, who wrote, "I often say my prayers, but do I really pray? And do the wishes of my heart go with the words I say? I might as well bow down to gods of wood and stone as offer to the living God a prayer of words alone." It's got to be more than just words and repetitions, has it not? It's got to be from our hearts. "Oh, you who hear prayer, to you all flesh shall come." Think about that. Mark it in your Bible if you want, so it kind of challenges you again. I want to say three things tonight, and this is the first. Let's think about the person who hears our prayer. The person who hears our prayer. The verse is, "Oh, you who hear prayer." Who is the you? Well, verse 1 begins, "Praise awaits you, O God, in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled. O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come." You see, we're thinking of God, the living God. It's the name that's used in this psalm of him. Three times it's used, verses 1, 5, and 9. God has many names and titles. One of the commentators says, "The various names of God are but the result of his being what he is, so wonderful and manifold that no one name can adequately express him in all his fullness." Names, especially in the Bible, names matter. I don't know why my mum and dad called me John. I'm happy about it. I think it's a great name. They never explain why. I know my older brother, who's in glory now, why he was called Gordon. That was his name. He was called Gordon for the simple reason, you may think a foolish reason, that where they lived, the fireplace was surrounded by tiles, and one of the tiles was a picture of General Gordon, Battle of Khartoum, if you know your history. Don't worry if not. So Gordon stuck, and my brother was Gordon for the sake of a tile on a fireplace. But in the Bible, names have significance. They have meaning. They matter. God has many names. The name God, that's used here, Elohim, or often it's the name Lord in capital letters in your Bible, or Jehovah, or I Am. Or for the Jews, very often, because they didn't like to use the name Lord as being the incommunicable name, it was Adonai, which is in your Bibles, capital L, lowercase O-R-D. And then there are over, I've not counted these, I've got a couple of books that could do it for me if I've got the time, over 80 compound names or descriptive names, like Jehovah Sabaoth, which means Lord of Hosts, or El Shaddai, which means God Almighty, or El Wah, which means the God who sees me. And there are other descriptive titles like Shield, or Rock, or Mighty, or Abba. These great names of the eternal, almighty, living God that all teach us something about him, and they're all significant. And in this passage, he has this title, God, or Elohim. It's the first one that's used in the Bible. Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." It shows he alone is the eternal, the almighty, the creator, the fountain source of all life and being, according to Herbert Stevenson in his book, Titles of the Triune God. It's an interesting title because actually in the Bible, it's also used of false gods and would-be gods. Satan is the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. But of course, there's a great distinction, isn't it? You've got the gods of Egypt, but they were powerless against the God of Moses, or the gods of Baal, who were ineffective against Elijah's God. You remember that great contest on Mount Carmel, you know, when the followers of Baal were calling out to their God, "O Baal, hear us, send down fire." Nothing happened. And Elijah puts his sacrifice up and soaks it with water, and he prays humbly, simply, and the fire falls, and the sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the water is all licked up, and the people, they say, "The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God." The psalmist says in Psalm 96, verse 5, "For all the gods of the nations are idols, but it is the Lord who made the heavens." It's interesting that this title, God, is a plural noun. Genesis 1:26, "Let us make man in our own image." It points us to the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. A plural noun, but the verbs used are singular. There's no hint of more than one God. We have one God in three persons, the glorious Trinity. So the psalmist says in Psalm 86, verse 10, "For you are great and do marvelous things. You alone are God." So we see his name. This is the person who hears our prayer, the one who is God. And we see his nature. Now here's your homework, okay? So that you can spend time in this psalm. The nature of God is spelled out for us in this psalm. And we won't go into all the details now, but verses 1 to 4 show us God's grace in salvation. It is amazing. It talks about our sin and about our forgiveness by the grace of God. And that's wonderful, about being brought into the presence of God. That's the nature of God to save. That's his grace. And you go on in the psalm that we read to verses 5 to 8, God's greatness is shown in creation. He's in control. He made all things. It speaks about awesome deeds in this psalm, about God's power, about going to the ends of the earth. He is sovereign. He stills storms and nations. And that's tremendous. And then the last part of the psalm, verses 9 to 13, God's goodness in providence. It's a psalm that's often used at harvest time, because the last part is all, isn't it, about harvest and God's gracious provision. He provides for us. That's what our God is like. And that is glorious. And that should thrill us. And that should give us confidence in him. It is he who hears our prayers. It is he who is Lord of all. It is he who is able to meet every need. Is your confidence in him? Are you trusting him? Do you know him? So we see then the person who hears our prayer is the living God. That's the first thing. Now the second thing is this. Let's think about the prayer that is heard. The prayer that is heard. Oh, you who hears prayer. God hears prayer. Let's tease out that a bit more. Think of the principle first of all this spells out. God is a God who listens. The word that's used here in the Hebrew means to hear intelligently. God hears us. But it's a word that has the sense of God hears us so as to answer. When you're talking to people sometimes, you get the sense, don't you, that they're not really listening to you. We thought a bit about that this morning. Are you listening? We're here to talk, and we can talk to someone who hears us and is able to answer us. One of the modern English versions puts it, everyone will come to you because you answer prayer. How many verses do you know in the Bible that promise that God will answer prayer? Didn't we read some tonight in Luke's Gospel chapter 11? Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open. Who said that? That's what God says. That's the Lord Jesus, God the Son, speaking to those who are listening to him. He promises to answer prayer. How many of you know Jeremiah 33 verse 3? I'm sure you do. Call on to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Do you believe that? What a promise that is. God is the person who answers prayer. Think of the psalmist in Psalm 34 verse 6. He was in trouble. You might be in trouble tonight. Burdens you're bearing, difficult situations you're facing, trials that beset you, all sorts of troubles. Listen to the psalmist. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. It's describing the time when David pretended to be insane to get out of a difficult situation, but it was with the Lord's help. Spurgeon, in his own way, says, the hearing and granting of prayer is the Lord's property. Oh, well, you're putting it, isn't it? But you know what it means. It is the nature of God to hear and to answer the cries of his people. I've put it on a human level. We've had a great time with our son Peter and his wife Lisa and their two kids today. And of course, the children are full of excitement, aren't they? And they ask their parents for things. And their parents listen. And if it's right, they'll do what they ask. And if it's not right, they won't. That's good parenting, isn't it? They listen so as to answer. Don't you get frustrated? I get frustrated sometimes when you see, and this isn't meant to be critical, that's going to sound, but you see some dear mum pushing her child along in a trolley and she's got a mobile phone on. And the poor little kid wants, I don't know, comfort, a sweet, a biscuit, or some attention. But it's all wrapped up in the mobile phone. And you think, poor little kid. And you think, if you're as old as me, I'm glad we didn't have mobile phones when our kids were small. Because it can possess you, can't it? At least with a phone at home, if you took it with you, you'd pull the wire up the wall and that'd be the end of it, wouldn't it? So, but God hears his children. He answers his children. Calvin quotes, God can no more divest himself of his attribute of hearing prayer than of being. It's part of God and his nature to hear the cries of his people. And he promises again and again to hear us and to answer us. So you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. So there's the principle that's spelled out here. And then there's the practice, isn't it? We are to pray. We're to be those who pray. The word prayer here in the Hebrew means intercession or supplication. It means coming with our needs or the needs of others and bringing them before the living God, beseeching God for ourselves and others. Prayer. Derek Prime once defined prayer in those three lovely little words. Prayer, he said, is talking with God. Is that wonderful? That's simple, isn't it? But it's right, isn't it? Talking with God. And you can talk with God anytime, anywhere, any place, about anything. And that is glorious. It has to carry with it, doesn't it? Two things, in a sense. It has to carry with it the sense of awe, because he's the living God. It's not any old person. He's the Lord of the universe. He's the one who made you and gave you life and breath and being. So there's some awe, reverence, holy fear. But it also has a sense, doesn't it, of familiarity. Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father. Speaks of that relationship, doesn't it? It's ours by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a bit like talking to your best friend, isn't it? You know Joseph Scriven's hymn. We could have had it tonight, but there's plenty of choice for hymns. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. How wonderful. The practice of prayer. We look at the word, we see the way it's done, we're invited to pray, we're challenged to pray, we're instructed to pray, to express to God all that we feel. The passage in Luke 11 gave us part of an outline, didn't it, of the Lord's Prayer. You know what Martin Luther did? Martin Luther used to use the Lord's Prayer as a plan for his praying and as a way to teach others how to pray. He would take a phrase at a time. We had this happen at Long Crendon, where we go now recently. One of the guys leading in prayer. So we're going to use our prayer time by praying through the Lord's Prayer. He didn't take as long as Martin Luther did. But, you know, he took Our Father in Heaven and just kind of opened up a little bit on that. And all the way, so lovely, all the way through. And Martin Luther would do that. And in life, when he was old, this is what he wrote. To this day, listen, this is a strange way of putting it, perhaps, but you'll understand it. To this day, I suckle at the Lord's Prayer like a child, and as an old man, eat and drink from it and never get my fill. If you're not quite sure how to pray, get the Lord's Prayer that the Lord Jesus taught us and use it as a pattern and a guide for your praying, like Martin Luther did. I commend it to you. What a wonderful thing prayer is. It includes praise. It includes confession of our sin, because we're sinners who need forgiveness, who need saving and protecting and keeping. It includes intercession, bringing before our Heavenly Father the needs of others. It includes petition, praying for myself, because I've got lots of needs as well, and I need wisdom and guidance and the grace of God continually. And it includes thanksgiving, because I don't know about you, but I've got so much to thank God for. I thank God for the ability still to get about and the privilege of being able to seek to preach from God's word, to meet with God's people. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Yes, I do. And how many there are. And I thank God for what he's done for me. And that's part of my praying. But there's a problem, isn't there? There is more than one problem when we come to prayer. Sometimes we're a bit like the Pharisee, aren't we? You know, who went into the temple to pray and they lifted up his hands and he said, "Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like the rest of these people here. I give tithes of all I possess. I do this, that and the other." He wasn't praying at all, was it? Sometimes we miss out. We don't really ask God. James 4 verse 2 says, "You do not have because you do not ask God." The challenge is to ask God. And then the second problem is this, that we ask, but we ask for the wrong reasons. Our motives are wrong. That's what James 4 verse 3 says. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. God knows our hearts. We can kid ourselves and kid others, can't we? God knows our hearts. Are we genuine in what we're praying? Another problem is the fact that we harbour sin in our hearts and lives. The psalmist says, Psalm 66 verse 18, "If I cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." Because we've kind of put a barrier up, our sin. Sometimes it's a problem because we lack faith. We don't really believe that God could do it anyway. James 1 6 says, "But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt." And then another problem is the fact that we really fail to recognize that God has answered. People have said to me sometimes, I guess I've thought the same. Well, I prayed, but God hasn't answered, hasn't he? God can say no, and that's an answer. God can say wait, and that's an answer. All we want to hear is yes. But No, we must remember that God does answer when he says no. He does answer when he says wait, as well as when he says yes. So what a privilege it is for us to be able to pray. A prayer that is heard. Biblical principles set the pattern. The Lord Jesus, in the prayer he taught us, set the pattern. Thirdly, the people who can pray. Who can pray? Well, the verse says, doesn't it? Oh, you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. Wow. What an amazing amount of scope there is here. To you all flesh will come. It's for everyone. Not just for the Jews who thought they were exclusive and God was their God and the rest were heathen, Gentiles, and they were shut out. No. Here in the Old Testament, all flesh, everyone, not just the rich, not just the clever, not just the men, everyone, everywhere, in every age. What an invitation. But there is a stumbling block, isn't there? There is a difficulty. There is a challenge. And that challenge is sin. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that we've seen, it is a barrier and will come between us and God. And we're under sentence. The wages of sin is death, says the Bible. But there's an answer, isn't there? In the cross. We come to the Father through Jesus the Son. There's a way back to God, says the old chorus, from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open. You may go in at Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. It's all in Christ. There's the secret. There's the answer. Because the gospel is for all flesh. And God has given that way into his presence through the Lord Jesus, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That's the way to come. That's the way to pray. That's the way that prayers are answered. That's the secret of it all. There's a sense, isn't there, in which the first prayer that we ever really pray is, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And when we're right with God by his grace, when our sins are forgiven through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, we can come into his presence. That's why I've got down there. The word of God to us, we need to know what God says. The work of Christ for us, he died on the cross to save us. The witness of the Spirit in us, prompting us in our praying. What a privilege. What a necessity. Oh, you who hear prayer, to you all men will come. If you were starving, hungry, gasping for food and drink, and somebody sat you down at a table laden with the richest of food, a knife and fork, and a cup of tea or whatever it is, what would you do? Look at it? Of course not. You'd dive in, wouldn't you? You'd feast on what's there. Why is it that we're so slow to pray in ways that we ought to pray? Why is it that prayer doesn't feature as high on our agenda as maybe it should? We have an enormous privilege by the grace of God. Our God, our Lord and Saviour, invites us to pray. He hears to answer our prayers. All are invited to come. The way is possible through the Lord Jesus. And we must come and avail ourselves. Trust that will warm your heart tonight to be increasingly a man or a woman of prayer. If you don't yet know the Saviour, pray that first prayer and trust in Christ as Saviour and go on to walk with him. I think I've got one more picture on here. You know this guy, George Muller. What a life lived to the glory of God. Young man, he was rebellious, a right pain, difficult in all sorts of ways. But God in his grace saved him. His life was transformed. And you'll know that he was used as a pastor, but also to open up Muller's Homes in Ashley Down in Bristol. This is what he said. I believe God has heard my prayers. He will make it manifest in his own good time that he has heard me. I have recorded my petitions that when God has answered them, his name will be glorified. He wrote down all the prayers and all the answers to prayer. Why? For his benefit? No, for the glory of God, because of what he proved, and to encourage us to pray. Do you ever do that? You ever write down your answers to prayer? Do you ever share with people how God has answered your prayer to encourage them as well? Isn't that wonderful? We're such a wonderful Saviour. Oh, you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. Remember those words. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for